take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept, and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And not I better to thee than 10 sons? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place, for this church. Thank you for our preacher. Most of all, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, there's a lot of folks in this room, hundreds and hundreds of people. There are so many needs that there's no way one human could meet those needs, but you could meet them through our preacher if you'd fill him with your power. Please do only the work that you could do. May we receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
To all of you, of course, you know that we have designated this as Mothers, Grandmothers, and Great-Grandmothers Day. My message is for all of you who I just recognized in a special way, and for those of you that might be future mothers, and to all of you born of a woman. Because you see, God chose that all of us come forth from a lady, from a woman. Men, please don't shut me off. Listen to me very carefully today, because I think probably tucked inside what I'm going to say, you'll find something for yourself. You see, the concepts, the truths, and the principles that are found in this old black book, they're good for us all. And so, please listen to me today. I've entitled my sermon this, From a Bitter Spirit to a Blessed Spirit. From a bitter spirit to a blessed spirit. To be honest, I'm worried about the spirit of women in our country. It seems like the spirit of womankind is struggling. It was God's intention that women sweeten this world and this earth. It was God's intention that they sweeten their surroundings. See, when God created woman, He created her special. There's just something special about a woman. You realize that God created man, put him down here on the earth, and man was just flat out by himself and bummed out. God looked down and said, what's wrong with you, Adam? He said, I don't know. It's not going very good today. God said, I think I can fix you up. God brought woman. Asked Adam the next day, how's it going? He said, it's going really good now. It's going really good now. When God created woman, He gave her a special beauty. When God created woman, He gave her a special tenderness. When God created woman, He gave her a special kindness. When God created woman, He gave her a goodness, a special goodness. When God created woman, He gave her a special ability to spread happiness. When God created woman, He made her a positive mood setter. He knew what He was doing. When God created woman, He gave her a very special and a unique love. More magnificent than the mountains is the qualities of a woman. More refreshing than a spring brook is the refreshment that a woman can bring to a situation. The most wonderful creation of God on this earth is probably a woman. You know, I got thinking about it. Most women love flowers, but I think flowers delight in women more than women delight in flowers. I think as a lady goes to pick a flower, the lady says, oh, I'm going to pick a flower. I think the flower looks back and says, I'm about to be picked by a woman. And the flower delights in that expectation. Women enjoy the sweetness of chocolate. The chocolate must bow its knee to the supreme sweetness available when around a woman. Then why all the depression? Then why hatefulness? Why misery? Why bitterness? Why unkindness? Why vindictive spirits? Why dissatisfaction with life? Why a lack of spirituality? Why would a woman want a sex change? That makes no sense to me. She was made special. Why would a woman find herself unnaturally attracted to another woman? Why drug dependency for a woman? Why alcoholism for a woman? Why such low self-worth for a woman? In the story that we read earlier, we see a lady by the name of Hannah. Hannah had a husband named Elkanah. She wanted to have a baby, Hannah did, but at this time in her life, she was unable to have a child. She allowed this desire to have a child. It began to overwhelm her emotions. To be quite honest with you, she became an emotional mess over the thing. I'll show that to you in a second. She wanted something. She did not have it. And as a result of it, she found herself very miserable in life. She was a miserable gal. But, thank God, God began to arrange some things for her. Well, I'll tell you this. She went down to the temple one day. The preacher was there watching her pray. He even thought that she was drunk because of the way she was handling herself. He said, what's going on with you? You know, you look like somebody that's been up to no good. Why is your spirit like that? Why are you so down like that? She began to pray, and she got God involved in her situation. And as a result, God blessed her. God gave her a child. That child became a great man of God. After allowing God into her life, she straightened out a few things about her spirit and her attitude. God began to work in a powerful way. And God accomplished some powerful things. Every lady today, please listen to me, whether you're young or old, married or single, I would like to tell you what I see that happened here in the first and a portion of the second chapter of Samuel. Because you see, I watched as I read this passage, and I watched a woman that had a bitter spirit. And in the end, she had a blessed spirit. She wasn't really what God wanted her to be. But through a process of getting her heart right with God and getting some things serious with God, she ended up with a very blessed spirit. She raised a champion for God by the name of Samuel. What a powerful young man he was. But there was a process. You stay with me now as I share with you a little Bible study that I did. Now, sometimes I shift into fourth gear and I just flat out preach like a maniac. I'm not going to do that today. Sometimes I'll just do a Bible study. I don't think I'm going to quite do just that. I think you're going to call this kind of a combination between teaching and preaching. I'm going to be a little preachy-teachy or teachy-preachy today. You'll have to pay attention on purpose, but honestly, if you'll listen, I know this. God will meet with us and God can do something for all of us. And gentlemen, if we can do something to serve our ladies in the spiritual realm, it'll do nothing but help all of us. Someone said, you show me the condition of a nation, I'll show you the condition of the women in that nation. Or you show me the condition of the women in a nation, and it's a great reflection of what the nation is like. Because women are so influential, you see. They're powerful. Very influential. I'm not dumb to that influence. I see it. I would like to add to the positive influence of our country and our churches by this simple sermon that I've entitled, From a Bitter Spirit to a Blessed Spirit. I want to show you, remember this gal's name, it is Hannah. And though I'm going to read bits and pieces of Scripture all the way from the beginning of chapter 1 to midway through chapter number 2, I want to show you her beginning condition. I want to show you Hannah's situation. She was having a pretty tough time all the way to the point that she was behaving in a way that the preacher said, what are you acting like? What are you acting that way? There was something wrong. The preacher knew it, and she knew it, and others knew it. What was Hannah's condition? Well, I'll tell you this. Here's what was happening. She found out in this story that things could not make her happy. You see, in the story, the Bible says that her husband had given some things to her. It says in 1 Samuel 1:5, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion." You see, he was spreading out some things, and he was giving out some portions, almost like advance inheritances. And he said, "I'm going to give you some, and I'm going to give you some, and I'm going to give you some." And he went to Hannah, and he said, "I'm going to give you an extra healthy portion. I'm going to take extra good care of you." But the thing is, everything that she got monetarily did not fix her problem. Somehow we get this idea that things will make us happy. But folks, things don't make us happy. Happiness is not in what we have, it's in what we are. See, she was dissatisfied, and satisfaction is not found in a new dress. Now, a new dress is fun, and I want you to have a new dress. But you see, you're going to have to go from dress to 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 dress. And you're never going to really find what you're looking for, because happiness is not in a new dress. It has something to do with the one that is in the dress. You take a child, and a child says, "Well, for Christmas, I want this toy, and that'll make me happy." So you get them the toy, and they play with it for about 10 minutes, shove it aside, and then go play with the box that the toy came in. Because things don't make us happy. And Hannah, in this story, she starts out and she's kind of spoiled a little bit, but that did not solve this bitter spirit that she had within her. In 1 Samuel 6a, it says, "And her adversary provoked her sore." Another woman had given her a hard time about the fact that she did not have a baby. Others were giving her, she was allowing others to get her spirit down. Women worry an awful lot about what other women think. You all know that? Worry an awful lot about what other women think. There's some lady here today saying, "Well, what am I going to wear to church today? Why? Well, I want, as others look at me, I want to look nice." You men, if you don't like my tie, you can stick it in your ear. You don't like this suit? Tough. Doesn't bother me. Well, the ladies aren't quite like that. They're not quite like that. But you see, her condition was, she thought, "Well, maybe things would make me happy." They did not. Others were controlling her spirit. Others were determining maybe even her relationship with God. No wonder she's having a tough time. Don't turn your spirit over to other ladies, others ladies. Turn your spirit over to God. He created you. He knows what He's doing. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. These words are used: to make her fret. She was fretting. Now you understand, this is describing Hannah. And why is she in this condition? She's fretting. She's miserable. She's turning herself into a worry wart. Worrying about things. Worrying about this. Worrying about that. Now, I don't know what a worry wart is. But I've never seen a worry wart. But I don't know, if you worry enough, you start getting warts. There are a couple of you, you're going to be a wart on legs before long. You're going to be one great big worry wart. She's fretting here. Not only that, in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, she wept. Now let me tell you something. It's okay to cry. That's all right. I shed my fair share of tears. And it's okay to cry. But let me tell you this also. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh as well. And far too many Christian ladies are spending far too much time crying, and their emotions are getting away from them. Some cry way too much. You need to laugh. But I'm trying to describe her condition, you see. Things were not making her happy. She was dissatisfied. Others were controlling her spirit. She was fretting and she was miserable. She wept. She wept. And then the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, she did not eat. Virtually saying she now is having a disorder in regard to her eating. Her spirit and her attitude has now affected her eating habits. You know, if your spirit gets down and it gets poor, you may do one of two things. You may turn to food to try to encourage yourself or get comfort, or turn from food because of it. But you see, God ought to control the spirit. God ought to be in control of that. But it's mentioned here that she did not eat. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou?" What's happened now? Now her husband says something's wrong here. It's now affecting her marriage. It's now affecting her home life. And he said, "Why are you weeping like that?" He knew it was a little out of control. He knew that there was something wrong. He knew that those emotions were just not being properly controlled. I remember one day, my wife was sitting at the table, and she had been crying. My boys, they're all like stair steps. They were growing up. They're just little guys. My boys come running in the house from playing. They come in, my wife, you could tell she'd been crying. One of my boys looked at my wife and looked at me and looked at my wife and knew she'd been crying about something. And one of my boys said, "Mama, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" She said, "Because I'm happy." All three of my boys looked at me and went, I said, "Go play, boys. I ain't going to try to explain." No way. That's one of them questions we're asking when we get to heaven. And then he's not going to try to explain it. Oh, but they can get out of control sometimes. It was. Hey, this thing was to the point that was affecting her marriage. It was affecting her relationships in life. Then I got to chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Why eatest thou not?" See, I believe this. He asked, he said, "You're not eating, you're not thinking right, you're crying, and there's some things that are just not right." And he said, "Why don't you eat?" I believe probably it began to affect your health. And you ladies have to listen to me. If you let this thing get away from you too much, you get to feeling bad. You won't sleep at night. If you don't sleep at night, you're going to be grumpy. If you lose 1 hour sleep, you may sit in church the next morning and look at the preacher like a cat looking at a new gate.
Is he talking?
You know, time change Sunday. You're not getting it. You're supposed to laugh at that point. You're not awake enough to laugh. Then, again in verse number 8, he says, "Why is thy heart grieved?" She has a heavy heart. He knew it. It was obvious. She couldn't sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Where? Down in my heart. She couldn't sing that. She wasn't singing it. It was obvious she didn't have it. In verse number 8, he goes on, he says this, and all you men could say this. He said, "Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Yo, men, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Amen? "You got one man in the house you don't need anymore." That's what he said. He said, "You got me. We may not have that baby that you want right now, but you got me." She was dissatisfied with her life. She was even finding herself. I think he's almost saying, "I get the idea you're not even satisfied with me. I'm inadequate. You're dissatisfied with what you have. You're dissatisfied with your situation in regard to children. You're not happy. Your spirit's down. You're not eating right. You're not sleeping right. It's affecting your health. It's affecting your spirit. And you're not even satisfied with me." I think he felt rejected. Maybe he felt like a failure because he didn't know what to do to help her. In 1 Samuel 1:9, it says that the man of God even got worried about her. It says, "Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord." She had gone into the temple and Eli was kind of standing in the back and he was watching her because he knew that she struggled with her spirit, knew that she was down, knew that she was depressed. He could tell by looking that there was something spiritually out of sorts with her. He probably stood back there thinking, "The devil wants everybody grumpy. The devil wants everybody sad. The devil wants everybody grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. And he doesn't want anybody glad." And she probably looked back and went, "Wah." In 1 Samuel 1:10, the Bible says she was in bitterness of soul. That's more bitter than the taste of vinegar. If you don't understand that, go home and take a swig. Deep bitterness that was affecting her life somehow. What's going on here? In verse number 10 it says, again, she wept sore. It was out of control and her emotions were not anchored down. She wept until she hurt. There was not the joy that should have been there. Wait, let's go back to the creation of woman and the whole purpose of the whole thing. As God needed more than the flowers that came up out of the ground, He needed woman to spread the sense of joy everywhere she went. But wait, Hannah's not like that. That's not happening here. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, upon the affliction, those are the words that are used, she felt afflicted. She felt beat up by life. In verse number 11, it says, she virtually felt sorry for herself. It says, oh Lord, if Thou indeed look upon the affliction of Thine handmaid. I think she's saying to God, oh God, I feel afflicted. I feel like I've been shortchanged here. God, it's not going very well for me. I think she was feeling sorry for herself. Are you finding you in here somewhere? You saying that kind of reminds me of me. As I examine some of this, brother, I feel a little bit like that. Listen to this. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14, her attitude is almost an attitude that reflects sin in the life. Let me show you. It says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away wine from thee. You see, her hurt and her confusion and her emotions were all, the way she was acting about this whole thing, the way she was responding to all of this, the preacher said, what have you been up to? Something going on in your life. He said, you've been drinking? What is going on? Get control of yourself, lady. Her reaction and her attitude was that of a drunkard. So, well, Brother Owens, I'm not a drunkard. Don't act like one. Don't allow yourself to get so far out of control that you're not connected to God. 1 Samuel 1, verse 15. She calls herself a woman of a sorrowful spirit. The best way to describe her, if she were a tree, she'd say, I am a weeping willow. A weeping willow. She goes on in verse 16. Her spirit was so bad, she feared someone might think she was unsaved. It says, she says this, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That's a false god. Her attitude, her spirit, her bitterness, her anger, all of that was so bad. She said, people are going to think I'm unsaved. Preacher, help me. I'm in trouble. All of this is going on in my life now. You've asked me if I'm a drunk. Somebody's going to think I'm lost. I'm unsaved. I'm a child of a false god because of my behavior. See, she knew it. If you're saved, tell your attitude. Amen. Tell your attitude you're saved. If you're saved, tell your face you're saved. Let the love of Jesus put a smile upon your face. 1 Samuel 1:16, he uses the word grief. In description of her, that is sorrow to the point of anger. See, Brother Owens, I just get out of control with my anger. I'm worried about ladies in our churches and in our country because I see much of what I've described today in the life of Hannah. And ladies, you're far too important. You're far too important to the spirit of our churches. You're far too important to the spirit of our homes. You're far too important to the spirit of our country. We need the flower of your attitude. We need it. We need it desperately. Now, I've described to you, I have gone verse by verse and described to you this bitter situation and her condition. Hey, but I kept on reading, and it's a good thing I did. As I kept on reading, I noticed the solution to the pollution. I thought, boy, when I got to this point, I said, boy, this is enough to get you down. I thought, oh my. I was thinking, that's bad. This is a bad situation. This is not good. And so then I read on, and as I read on, I noticed that she had a bad condition, but God had a good solution to that condition. Let me tell you what I see here. And if you say, Brother Owens, I kind of feel like I was described a little bit there. Maybe not every step of description fit you, but off and on there, as I describe, you say, I struggle with that. I've got that problem right there. Well, I struggle with that some. Hey, let me give you this solution that the Bible teaches. And so, you know, this old book that I preached from this morning, it's still fixing up spirits and marriages and homes. It'll still fix up a broken heart and a broken spirit. It can heal you, lady. It can heal you if you'll let it. And we've got to do something. We've got to do something. You say, why? The next generation is on the line. Because if the ladies of today are so down and depressed and their spirits are so squelched, how are they going to rear the next generation to be victorious and happy and positive mood setters? It's going to be a vicious cycle. So I come to you on behalf of the next generation. I come to you on behalf of your daughters and the children. Let's do something about this. And thank God He tells us what to do. Her solution, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:10, and she prayed unto the Lord. She turned to God in prayer. He is what you're searching for. He is what things won't do for you. He will do it. Things won't make you happy, but He will. He always listens. And I'm talking about more than whispering a prayer over your meal. You know, over the teeth and through the gums. Watch out, stomach, here it comes. Amen. More than that. A daily time with prayer, ladies. Our homes need mamas that pray. She turned to God in prayer. In verse 11, it says this, then she started promising God some things. It says, and she vowed a vow to God. She got in this mess. She's down. She's out. She talked to the preacher. She got a mess on her hand. And all of a sudden, she said, that's it. That's it. I'm going to pray. I'm turning to God. And as she turned to God, she began to make some promises to God. The Bible says she vowed a vow to God. See, she planned to make some spiritual changes in her life. Then she turned to God at the altar and said, God, I am going to do it. I'm turning my life around. I'm going to make some promises to you, and I'm going to change me with your help. Ladies, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you promised God you were going to change something about your spirit or your attitude? When was the last time you promised God you would change something about your life? Not only did she begin to promise God some things and have this time of prayer, she told God that her family would be His family. It says in 1 Samuel 1:11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou will indeed look upon the affliction of Thine handmaid and remember me and not forget Thine handmaid, but will give unto Thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. You know what she said? God, please, if you help me, I will make my family your family, and I'll influence my family for you. I'll influence my family to serve you. She said, I'm going to give my kids to you, and I'm going to give my marriage to you, and I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm promising you, God, they're not just for me. And the biggest problem we have among mamas and mothers today is they want their families for them and forgot their families were for God. He gave you that family to love and to rear for Him, not for you. And we're so stingy today. You need to give your children to God. You need to rear them for Him. You need to give your marriage to Him. We're going to have a baby dedication on April the 17th here. That's not baby baptism. Babies don't get saved. Babies don't go to hell. Not until they're able to understand the gospel do they get saved. And that could happen at 4, 5, 6 years of age. I don't know. That's up to the child and God. We're going to have a baby dedication that day. All the children, age 18 months and under, we're going to take a time and pray for them. I'm going to ask moms and dads to say, we've decided we're rearing this little one for God, and we want God to protect our child and keep them pure and moral and clean through life. We're going to do that. Hey, ladies, let me ask you a question. You ever given your marriage to God and said, God, whatever you want out of this marriage, I'm going to do it? Your child rearing, your son, your daughter, you've got to give them to God. Not only that, you see that in this story, this whole thing begins to intensify. Then she virtually becomes a prayer warrior. It says in 1 Samuel 1:12, as she continued praying, she started praying, and then this thing of praying to God and getting close to God began to snowball on her. She didn't just promise to pray a little. She started praying daily. She continued her prayer life. There's some of you don't pray at all. You ought to start, but you ought to continue it to where you start pulling this thing together with God. God is the great physician. He is the one that can heal your emotions. The Bible says her heart began to communicate with God. 1 Samuel 1:13. Now Hannah spake in her heart. She got her heart right. She had a deep meeting with God. Listen to this again. Look up this way. Everybody look up this way. Hannah had a very deep meeting with God. From the depths of her heart, she went to God and she said, God, I mean it. I mean it. I want you in my life. Let me ask you a question, ladies. You ever had a deep meeting with God? Are you superficial? You're all surface. I'll go by the church, but face to face with God, facing yourself and pouring it all out. She had a deep meeting with God. She said, I got to pull this thing out. I got to save my family. I got to get everything right. I got to get me straightened out. I can't keep living this way. Her heart began to communicate with God. I see also that she was not dependent on outside sources for her comfort, though they might have been available. She said, no, I've not been drinking. You want to know why ladies turn to alcohol? They're looking for something to comfort them. That's why. How about turn to God? Take a big old swig of the Word of God. She said, I have not drunk neither wine or strong drink. Why does a woman turn to another man? She's looking for some sort of comfort, some sort of haven. You want to turn to another man? Turn to your Heavenly Father. He will greet you with open arms, nor will he ask for anything in exchange for the comfort. Drugs. Why are there so many ladies that are abusing drugs or being abused by them? They're looking for something that they can only find in the Holy Spirit. She begins to pour out her soul to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:15, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Those are the actual words. You know what? That meant she laid it all on the line. This is what she did. If this were her soul, she went to God. She said, I'm going to have a face-to-face, very deep meeting. And God, I'm going to empty myself in your presence completely. I am emptying myself of me. Why? So you could be filled with Him. But is that stinginess and self-centeredness? You say, I don't trust anybody. You trust yourself above God. If you trusted Him, you would come to Him and you would let Him control your life. But you say, I've been hurt. God never hurt you. You need to empty yourself of self and say, here I am, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. The bitterness in your cup is usually you. But you get him in here. You get him. You let him fill you up. And you'll say, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. But you're full of bitterness. And then I find out. She then keeps her promises. In verse 26 and 28 of 1 Samuel, verse 1 it says, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. You know what happened? She got herself right with God. God began to bless her and gave her a boy by the name of Samuel. And she kept her word to God. She went back to God and said, God, here's my boy. I promise you I would serve you. I promise you that I was going to do right. And God, I'm here to keep my promise. I will give my family to you, God, and I'm here to do it. Hey, what promises, ladies, have you made to God that you have not kept, and you just need to get yourself right with Him? Then she stayed faithful to God, because the Bible says from year to year she would go back to the temple, and she consistently, with her husband, hey, there's some of you need to make the decision, all right, God, I'm coming to you. I'm pouring myself out. I'm going to empty me of me, and I'm going to ask you to fill me with you. And God, I'm going to do it consistently. I'm going to stop playing tag with God. I'm getting there, and I'm staying there. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, and not just this week. That's most of your problems. You do it for a little while, but you don't stick with it. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to show up for every church service. I am going to be in church and stay in church, come hell or high water. I'm going to be there. God, I'm coming to you entirely. You have the rest of my life. It's all yours. From now to the day I die. You say, well, Brother Owens, what happened? I'm going to give you the results. I told you her condition. I showed you the process and her solution. Let me show you the results. In 1 Samuel 1:17, the preacher says, boy, lady, woo! You thrill my soul, man. Boy, what's happened in your life? Wowee zowie! Oh, no, I tell you. And he says, go in peace. You know what that meant? Eli the preacher said to her, you are getting right with God. Now His peace is going to come over your soul. Eli is saying, ma'am, with what I see happening in your life, with what I see, this transformation, you are going to have some of the peace you've been looking for. You don't have to sleep around to get the peace. You don't have to have alcohol to get the peace. You don't have to go take illegal drugs to get the peace. You don't have to do that. You are going to get that peace by getting God into your life and having a deep, heartfelt meeting with God with the intent of giving everything to Him. He said, peace is on its way. And then her prayers started getting answered. Because in verse 17, it says, the God of Israel grant thy petition. You know what that meant? Eli said, you know what? God's going to start answering your prayers. And you are going to get that son that you wanted. God is saying, I'll meet your need. You meet His criteria. He will meet your need. And 1 Samuel 1:18, get this what happened. It says, her countenance was no more sad. Let the love of Jesus put a smile upon your face. She got up off the altar, and Eli looked at her and said, look at that smile. She is different. She must have really met with God. The God that was trapped deep down inside and being suppressed has been let out. He's blown away the sad face, and there's a smile in its place. Your face speaks 1,000 words. You know what? He probably sang at the back of the temple, Jesus wants everybody happy. It's no more, the devil wants everybody grumpy. He's singing, Jesus wants everybody glad. Jesus wants everybody happy, happy, happy. And he doesn't want anybody sad. Oh, things are changing. Things are changing here. Laughter came and smiling came. Oh, had all tears gone away? No, not all tears are going to go away. We're going to have tears in this life, but tears are not to dominate our life. A smile on our face. The life to come will be all smile, but we're to be a reflection here of what it's going to be like there, so somebody else might like to go along with us. And if your attitude is hindering others from being attracted to Jesus Christ, you're hindering them from possibly going to the other side where they too could have happiness. Her family began to serve God together. 1 Samuel 1:19, it says, and they rose up early in the morning and worshipped. Her and her husband started going to church, and the kids were going to church. What a happy life. She began rejoicing in her salvation. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, because I rejoice in thy salvation. You see, her salvation became important to her again. Let me tell you something. You want to lift your spirit a little bit? If you're a born-again Christian, guess what? You can't go to hell. We're having a hard time paying our bills, okay, but you can't go to hell. Well, I'm not feeling real good, Brother Owens, but you can't go to hell. Well, Brother Owens, we had a flat tire yesterday, but you can't go to hell. Well, Brother Owens, the economy sucks, but you can't go to hell. He said, Brother Owens, my child broke my heart, but you can't go to hell. Look up, my friend. Look up, my friend. You see, all of a sudden, her salvation meant something to her. She was getting this all right in her salvation. It became important to her. Now, if you're not born again, you better get born again. I don't have a lot of good news for you. Your spirit's in trouble because it's dead. You need to get it born again. And then God can do something with that spirit. But her salvation became important to her. And I think she's probably doing the laundry after this little meeting, and she said, I'm glad I'm a Christian and serving the Lord. I'm reading my Bible, believing God's Word. The past is forgiven. From sin I am free. A home up in heaven is waiting for me. I could be a rapper, couldn't I? I'm dumb, I'm stupid, yeah. Anybody could rap. You preach like me, you don't need water in the pulpit, you need Gatorade. She had a changed heart, 1 Samuel 2:1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. She rejoiced. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. She had a sincere but pure pride about her. Her self-worth was now being restored. She said, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Hey, I can testify in the presence of my enemies that God is good, and I'm not going to let them get me down. I'm going to stay up in the presence of mine enemies. She has stability. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 3. She had had an insecurity. Now a security has come. She says, neither is there any rock like our God. She had been saying, oh, it's so bad. I can't make it. I can't take it. Now she's right with God, and she said, come on. Let's go on for God. Let's go do something for God. She said, I'm standing on a rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation and is better over me in love. Wow, something's happening here. She's not stumbling through life. Listen to this prayer. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. You know what she's saying? I have been stumbling along, but all of a sudden I'm standing on a rock, and I'm strong, and I'm feeling strong. Then she got more than what she asked for. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, it says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Wow. She asked for a son. You know what God gave her? 3 sons, 2 daughters. Hey, with Jesus, you get more than what you ask for. I mean, that's better than Cracker Jacks with a prize at the bottom of the box. And she became a role model in history. We speak of her again today. You know something? I'll be honest with you. I'm waiting for some ladies in my church to rise up. I need some ladies that will just decide, I want to be a role model. I want to be a role model to the teenage girls. I want to be a role model to the little girls around here. And I'm watching. I need some lady leadership that's dependable, holy, separate from the world. Got a wonderful spirit. Understand loyalty. Believes the Word of God. I'm looking for it. I am looking for it. Help me. Help. The next generation. From a blessing. From bitterness to blessing. That's what I see happening in Hannah's life. Tucked in here somewhere, you may find your spirit. I don't know. But I promise you this. The book that I preach is powerful. It can change your life if you'll obey it. If you're here today and you're not born again, you need to get saved. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm sick up to here with religion. I'm a member of a church. You can go straight to hell by being a member of a church and not being born again. Well, I do good deeds. I'm glad you do. You'll be the person that will have all the brownie buttons on in hell because good deeds don't get people to heaven. It is salvation through Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. So I got baptized once. Getting in water does not save you. Getting born again is what saves you. Some of you say, Brother Winston, you sound like you have what we need. This that you've taught today, that's what I need. What you need is a Savior if you're not saved. You can practice a whole bunch of these principles. They might help clean you up a little bit, but if I were on my way to hell, I'd be depressed too. I would be depressed too. But you let what might come, as long as you're saved, you can rejoice in that. So if you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close.